Welcome to Binge-topia. We hope you enjoy your stay.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Binge-topia.
Hello and welcome back.
I'm Julia Hava.
I'm Eliza McLam.
If you would like to support us on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/binge-topia where you can access all our bonus episodes, our monthly Zooms, and our reading list. And we might ask you to vote.
We might ask you to vote.
We need your votes.
We need your votes on a very important poll on Patreon. So if you subscribe right now, your vote can be counted. Stay in line.
If you're in line to vote, stay in line. No, sometimes we have polls about what you guys want to see, about where you want our monies to go. And if you want to participate in those things, just hop on the Patreon.
Yeah, you could literally decide where our money goes this month. So
I mean, between two abortion clinics. It's right. Not...
Well, yeah, it's either the abortion clinic or the Kim Kardashian fund.
The Kim Kardashian fund for BBLs for women in need.
Yeah, or we buy over $2,000 worth of Goodles.
I feel like we could get a brand deal with Goodles.
I mean, we are obsessed with them.
Somebody said they bought Goodles because of us and that we should have an affiliate link.
Goodles already owes us money.
We talk a lot about Goodles for two people who have never tried Goodles.
Gotta try Goodles. I should just like send an email to their like PR person
you
from
should.
Binge-topia. Be like, hey, Queen, just like send us a box.
And the roller skates. I want those
and
too.
And the roller skates.
Anyway, you can also leave us a nice little review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify
and
if you want to.
And you can buy some merch at propfront.com/binge-topia.
You guys, I'm really excited about today's episode. Last episode was kind of like a necessary downer.
Right.
But like this episode is going to be like the vibes actually have been so much worse in other people's environments. And like for a long time, vibes have been horrible. And like, I feel like that's important to remember.
So true. Sometimes you're in a cult.
Like people have always believed that it's the end times.
Yeah.
And right. That brings me comfort in knowing that like every single year people have been like, this is the end times. Somebody called out my last shout out for Weird History and they were like, love the Weird History channel. I think they also had... I don't know if it was from Weird History or something else, but it was basically like the worst year ever to live in history was like 533 because it was like a drought took out all the crops. Like everybody was dying of the plague. Like it's been bad.
Damn, it's been bad, everyone.
I feel like we just think about how like in the 80s, like people like went roller skating and like had a lot of like money and like that was right. People think it was like that for like all of the past.
Well, and like Reagan was like decimating black communities.
I mean, yeah, obviously the 80s were horrible, but I think that people romanticize like that as like the time period that's like past.
Right.
When bad things happen to white people.
No. Yeah, I saw this tweet of like a skinny white girl in the 70s like hitchhiking, which you quote tweeted.
I quote tweeted
but
it.
The tweet was like, we need to go back to like these times and like I can't believe the degenerate children we have. And it's like then somebody quote tweeted it was like conservatives hated the hippies.
I know, like, I was thinking about that. Like they were literally like, get these dirty hippies like out of our towns. Like
right.
That's like what the Kent State shooting was. They just started shooting at hippies.
I know. I mean, in 50 years there's gonna be some like conservative man being like, oh, I miss when the e-girls were wearing the cat ears and doing TikTok dances.
Right. We've it was so wholesome so then. And my quote retweet was just that it was a girl on the side of the road wearing no shoes and like I was like, this is how you get murdered and kidnapped.
That's Ted Bundy bait right
that was
there.
Happening all the time in the 70s.
Yeah,
people are like, I miss the days when a girl could just stand looking skinny on the corner and like get picked up by a nice man and nothing bad
and
would
murdered
happen
immediately.
Her.
Yeah,
that's not what would happen.
That's not the world we live in.
But cults were on my mind.
Yeah, cults were on my mind because as I said, my friend Maddie came over for dinner and she was like, you need to read about this cult. And then I did,
and we did, and we're gonna talk about cults today. And then we're doing a bonus episode directly after this, which if you're a Patreon, you'll listen to. And we're talking about one of the most insane cults that this doc has come out about called The Way Down, which let me just say is a genius name for the doc, considering what it's a whole thing.
We'll get
it's
into
a weight
it.
Loss cult by this woman who literally has like a
the
nest.
Hugest hair you've ever seen.
She has like a nest of squirrels living under her
like,
head.
I'm from the South. I've seen some big ass hair. Nothing compares.
And it
literally
just
truly nothing compares.
The more evil she got, the taller her
hair
kept getting. But
that's why her hair is so big. It's full of secrets.
It's full of squirrels.
That's what we started thinking. Into each other. But if you're listening, if you're not a patron right now, which get on it. Then the episode will already have been released onto the Patreon. So if you listen to this and you just need more cults,
you need more cults.
You can have more cults.
I also, we're going to talk about that on the other episode, on the bonus episode, but I recently told Eliza I'm obsessed with this new show, Under the Banner of Heaven, with Andrew Garfield. He's really into playing like cult leaders. He's not a cult leader in this, but he's into playing like evangelicals, because he played like an evangelical pastor in The Eyes of Tammy Faye. And then in this one, he's playing like a Mormon like detective. Anyway, in that show, which is based on a book by John Krakauer, which apparently is like an incredible book, but there is a cult of chiropractors. The family.
God damn.
The chiropractors can't catch a break.
They got me.
And they like have this, there's this scene where like this couple comes down to like get their alignment or whatever, and they're like, we're asking God like how to fix your back. And they were like, can you just like do the regular chiropractor
Julia
thing?
Stops spreading disinformation
about chiropractor.
Stop, I need to save my king.
Anyway, it's great. You guys should watch it. But we're gonna get into cults later in this episode. Before that, we just have to discuss the goings-ons of the world.
We got to do our regular vibes. I have a fun announcement, which I announced on my Instagram, but I'm going to plug here as well, which is that I'm going on tour.
Tour
again in November with the bestie, Illuminati Hotties.
I love the poster. It was really cool.
Right? Yeah. That girl, I ended up following her on stuff because I love her designs. But I'll be on the West Coast. So, like, basically everywhere in California, Oregon, Washington. I'm also going to Vancouver, which I've never been to Canada, so it will be very exciting for me.
It's nice there in Canada. I haven't been to Vancouver, but I think I'm gonna go to Banff this summer.
Ooh,
which
fun.
Looks gorgina.
For the film festival?
No.
Oh, just because
I wanna go to Banff.
Banff.
I just think it's really funny that it's called Banff.
Banff. But yeah, if you want to buy tickets, check my IG. You can buy tickets.
Check her IG, you guys.
Slay. And a lot of you guys came to my last tour, and it was really fun to see you because I work my own merch table. And so it is fun to see you and meet you.
Maybe one day we'll have a binge tone bia tour.
We really should and will. Like, that is on the horizon.
That we need to kiki with the besties IRL. I'm going to check and see what I've liked on Twitter recently, because I don't know what is happening in the world. Looking. We need to talk about another cult, which is the Johnny Depp fans.
Oh my god.
On Twitter, who are so listen, I posted a whole thing about this on my story. We do not know either of these people. You do not know them. We don't know what went on in their marriage. Ideally, this would be not publicized and filmed, but the people that are like, I can't wait for Johnny Depp to like say he's Captain Sparrow and like walk away from Amber Heard, and like then she's gonna cry and everyone clap.
They're literally like the Dems, like with Hillary and Joe Biden. It's like, I want Hillary to go over to Joe Biden's house with a little potluck, and then Kamala comes and spills wine on the floor, and then they all fuck each other and say they love me and they're my parents.
Wait, and then what was like the Pete Buttigieg will come and watch Drag Race or something?
Which I showed you at my housewarming party, the horrifying Pete Buttigieg post, or rather the Chasten Buttigieg post.
Wait, what was the post?
Pete at fucking Auschwitz.
Oh no.
Do you
remember? Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's like
you
a photo of Pete Buttigieg at Auschwitz that Chasten took, and Pete is like literally blue stealing, and Chasten posts it with the caption, "This guy." Period.
Like, guys, please stop using Auschwitz as your photo op. Like, it's I went into a whole thing. If you guys haven't seen my Instagram series about this, I have a highlight. It's kind of like back on my highlights, but the cover of it is just a stop sign, and it literally is just people posing in front of Holocaust memorials and being like, love the bestie at the murder for the memorial for murdered and missing Jews. Like, literally, that's the tag.
No, it's terrible. Like, girls on the train tracks, like, throwing up a peace sign. Like, please. Like, they should take your phones.
I know. They really
should.
They should
stop
take
that.
Your phones.
Yeah.
I saw this tweet that said, "Hi, I'm Nick Lachey, and this is Netflix Stanford Prison Experiment."
Stop. Julia, you need to watch The Ultimatum.
I did see some of it.
You
I
did?
Saw like the first episode, but I need to keep watching.
You thought
it
was flopulous?
No, I just like I needed to keep watching it. I was watching it with Lucas. He doesn't really he is not really into that stuff, unfortunately.
That's fine. I tried to watch it with Redacted as well, and he was equally as
I just showed Eliza this picture of this woman with her braid that she dyed green, and then she has a little mermaid that's like popping out of the top of it.
Which
I love
innovative
hairstyles.
Yeah, it is innovation.
She should be invited to the Met Gala.
Yes.
Anyway, what were you... We were just talking about... Yeah, the Nick Lachey is like, they will be like, what if we did... Like, the new psychological experiments are just like televised.
Yeah.
They're like, what if we ruined your life?
Love.
I want to see, like, I think I should be the host of a psychological experiment on Netflix.
That should be our next business venture.
That is so good. Hi, I'm Julia and Eliza, and you're watching The Rat Games.
Oh my God. Yeah, that would be amazing. Speaking of rat games and rat kings and such, I felt really trapped into a rat king the other day because I did like two beauty things and beauty related things in one day, and they're both like appointments, so they kind of became my whole day.
Oh, it feels really like I went to the dermatologist today and I was just like, capitalism vibes.
No, really, like I got highlights and then I got my eyelashes permed.
You did?
Yeah, you see I'm not wearing any makeup right now.
I mean, they look gorgeous, but I don't know really what is different.
It's that they curl up because the thing. Okay,
now
here's
I would
thing.
Like to have that. They just keep inventing new things that I want
to
get.
Yeah, I was telling Dayton that I was on my way to get my eyelashes permed, and she was like, "Oh my God, you're soft maxing," and I was like, "What the hell is that?" Because she's kind of dove deep into that. She's not a femme cell. However, she is a
hardcore Red Scare stan.
She is a little bit into the fem cell community. And I was like, what the fuck is that word? And she was like, oh, it's like little tiny things that you can do to improve your appearance that aren't like,
I mean,
Botox,
it is insane.
Whatever.
And people do prey on that. And like in 90% of plastic surgeons are men and all their patients are women. And like,
right.
I saw somebody on Twitter being like, what the fuck is strawberry legs? Which is just like,
right.
The marks that you get on your legs. Like, yeah. Just... like every single thing that could happen to a woman's body, like hip dips.
Yeah. Once I saw hip dips, we had lost God.
I know. It's just, but I went to the dermatologist today. And first of all, my dermatologist, I thought he was gay, but then he starts talking about his wife. I was like,
ooh. Many such cases, many such cases.
Have you seen that YouTube video of Britney Spears? And she's with, Ryan Seacrest, and like he talks about a girlfriend and she like looks really confused and she's like, wait, what? She totally thought he was gay.
I love that.
That was me with my derm. But like
did you go to your derm just for like,
I went to the derm because I wanted to ask about the lump in my arm, and then I also what else did I want to ask
if
about?
You want to know more about Julia's lump, you should subscribe to the
I have
Patreon.
A little lump in my arm and it really bothers me, but he basically was like, I can't, like, I can take it out, but you don't know how the scar will look, and, like, you don't want it to, like, look, which I did appreciate, because, like, he isn't trying to just, like, make monies off of me, yeah. And be, like, I'll take it out, but, like, every single time I go into his office, he always has some, like, beautiful, gorgeous, like, 20-year-old
assistant
who's
yeah.
brand new, and, like, he's kind of, like, rude to them, and is, like, you're supposed to do this, and, like, he literally was, like, yeah, like, reprimanding her for, like, a full 2 minutes while I was in the office, and I was like sitting on the
Leave
table with the little paper. I mean, to be fair, she like really didn't seem like she knew what she was doing. I think he hires them based on their beauty, but he was the one who was like, oh yeah, like you have bags under your eyes. Like I can just give you under eye filler, but you might go blind from that. I was like, what?
Great.
And then like the woman who was the little assistant lady who was like taking notes or whatever, she was like, pull down your mask. And I was like, okay. Cause I was like asking about the TMJ Botox. I was wondering if they did that. And she was like, what about the blemishes on your face?
Oh, you literally like, don't have blemishes.
I was like, damn. She was like, the blemishes? I was like, oh my God.
It's like when you go to get your eyebrows waxed and they're like upper lip too.
They're like mustache. Like, yeah. And one time I was like, no thanks. And they were like, you really need it.
No, literally. Every time I get a pedicure and they're like, do you want us to like scrape your feet off? And I'm like, no. And they're like, you really need it.
I know.
And then one time I like got pressured into saying yes. So then I did. And then the baby feet were beautiful, but they lasted for like a day and a half.
I know, that's the thing, is I've done those baby feet peels before, yeah. But then like you don't have any calluses on your feet, so right. It like hurts yeah. to walk around, but
because babies don't walk famously.
But I have these like little like spider veins basically, and he was like, I can laser those, which that I think I might do because it does bother me, but it's like
really
damn,
I don't see them at all.
It's like this little, like it's a little broken vein right here. It just will never go away. That's the problem. So I mean it's like every tiny thing, right. That like I'm not noticing your eyelash perms, like whatever. But there's so many endless things you can get done as
I
a woman.
Know if you really fall down the rabbit hole, like the fem cell shit is really scary, because they literally, I mean, I remember like as a like LOL a few years ago, I posted my face, like a picture of my face, in one of those like face rating groups on Reddit where they like have this whole system.
I would rather kill myself, because they'd be like, you're ugly bitch.
No, literally, they gave me like a 5 out of 10 or something, and but then they listed all the things that were wrong with me, and the thing that I have not stopped thinking about since, and I'm sorry if I'm about to enlighten you to something that you can't stop thinking about, is that they told me I had a downwards canal tilt to my eyes, which means that at the corners of my eyes, instead of going up, they go down, and apparently it's more flattering if they go
up. Well, that's
up.
Why people are getting the endoscopic facelift.
Yeah, I know.
Which let me shout out my queen once again, Lori Hill, my queen. I made you watch one of her videos.
Uh-huh.
But she's this queen that, like, clearly has gotten her own plastic surgery. She talked about her own, like, botched nose job experience. And her whole thing is, like, I'm going to tell you what stuff celebrities have had done, not to shame them, but because, like, I want people to know that, like, young girls to know that, like, beauty, like, is pain, and yeah. like, you have to get these procedures, and it's not that, like, they just went through puberty and they changed. And the new thing that everybody's getting is the ponytail facelift. They make an incision in your hairline, and then they just, like, basically, like, lift your face up so that you can't see the scars. They're, like, in your hairline, which is what Bella got done, which is right. what Ariana got
Kendall.
done, and it's to, like, tilt your whole face up. It just, like, pull it. It's supposed to look like your hair is in a ponytail. That's right. why it's called that. But it's insane. Like, what? Since when is that a problem that, like, your eyes don't, like, turn up
and
in
it's
a certain
like,
way?
Have we not learned that the fashion for women's bodies and women's beauty changes every 5 to 10 years?
Do we want everybody to look the same? That's what I'm wondering. Because if everybody's getting the same shit, then everyone's going to look the same.
Right.
And that's just sad to me.
Like, I mean, like, Gia Tolentino wrote about that in, like, 2018 or 2019, like, the Instagram face article.
Right. That was a great article.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want everybody to look the same. But anyway, everybody comment down below what the one thing is that someone said to you in your adolescence that changed your view of yourself forever. Mine was when I was in a play and this bitch woman was, like, measuring me, and she was like, "You have really broad shoulders. Are you a swimmer?" And I was like, "No." And she was like, "Wow, your shoulders are so broad." And I literally think about that for the rest of my life. I'm like, thank you for giving me that insecurity.
Yeah, no, literally. I remember when, like, there was a time in gym class when we could either, like, play soccer or, like, walk around
or
the field or something.
About your body. Yeah. I was like, you could either play soccer or get a full body examination where they told us what was wrong with us.
Right. And then I remember I was having a conversation with, like, my fifth grade teacher, and, like, I was just telling him about my day. And then he asked me, like, "Oh, well, what did you do in gym class?" And I was like, "Oh, I just walked around." And he goes, "Yeah, I could guess." And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Based on your physique."
You actually should go to federal prison for, like, making comments like that. Oh, well, the other thing was that this boy named Alex in seventh grade told me I had a mustache, and then that made me insecure, which I did, like, probably a little bit. But,
oh,
like,
my God.
Fuck him.
Dude,
he was ugly as hell, too.
Yeah, fuck him. I have to tell you this thing, which I shouldn't tell you because it's, like, mean about us, but also it's, like, from somebody that is definitely, like, psychiatrically ill, so it doesn't matter. But I recently discovered, because as you all know, I'm addicted to name searching Binge-topia.
Right.
And I recently discovered that you can look at all the places on Reddit where Binge-topia has been mentioned in a comment.
Oh, no.
And somebody went into the Red Scare forum and recommended our podcast. And then somebody else commented, "Just looked at their Instagram, not listening to the takes on politics from two heavy girls."
Heavy girls. Okay, heavy girls.
We should change our description to
two heavy girls. Two heavy girls. That person is, their brain is rotting away from anorexia.
It's just, it's funny.
Not
and it's
listening
also
to takes on politics from two heavies.
Yeah, but it's all, yeah, right.
Because actually what is better for your brain and your critical thinking is to eat less.
Right.
That's how you have better takes.
Yeah.
Because your brain is more pure.
Yeah, once my brain is, like, rotting away, that's when I can finally be closer.
Wait,
to God.
You were going to, first of all, stop name searching us. You found an even more extreme way to name search us.
I know. And it also is terrible because it sets me up for trolls that, like, know that I do that. And
I know.
And can just, like, post whatever.
Love. Was everybody like, "Yeah, they are so heavy"?
I think I got, like, 2 upvotes or something.
Well,
it's just like,
I hope you guys know you're a fan of a podcast that is led by two heavy girls.
Yeah, we're, what are we? We're women led, we're queer led, we're heavy led.
Heavy led.
Which is just like,
which is just also just,
well, it's just like, yeah, we are, like, two straight sized women who, like, do not face fatphobic discrimination. And also it's like just the absolute and I'm sure they were just trying to be, like, snarky and catty, but, like, I don't listen to opinions on politics from people who, like, haven't absorbed all of the brain rot of our society and have, like, starved themselves thin.
It's great. Beyond. I love that you were like, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but this person does have a psychiatric illness. I cannot imagine, like, being a celebrity. Like, I would, if I could just see people, like, you know, people just tweet, like, Selena Gomez weird face. Like, yeah. If that was me, it would be over.
Terrible. Also, like, I just really like going out in public and, like, being,
I love going out in
undetected.
Public.
Like, it was nice. Last night I went to the Big Thief concert and I was recognized, like, 3 or 4 times because obviously, like, that's the
clientele.
The core audience. Yeah.
Wait, where was I the other day? Oh, I was at the Brandy Melville at the Grove and somebody recognized me, which was so humiliating because I was like, God damn, like, I shouldn't be at the Brandy Melville, but shout out to her.
Love her.
Yeah, we need to do a meet and greet at the Brandy at the Grove. Yes! Her place. I didn't even buy anything either. It was just a humiliating reason for me to be seen there.
Yeah, that sucks. Should but we move on to mailbox?
Yeah, let's do some mailbox moments. Okay, so this email is called Intercontinental Whore Behavior. Hey, Benchies, in the wake of our current hell, I went back and listened to Abort Mission and thought you might be interested in a bit of Irish reproductive history. I'm from Ireland, but live in the U.S., and I'm always shocked at how little the Magdalene laundries are discussed here. These are a really big part of Irish women's history and existed in America and other countries as well, but I don't think they were as popular or well-known. These were basically work camps run by the Catholic Church where women could be sent if they were considered to possess whore qualities. This pretty much includes any subversive behavior ranging from premarital sex to sneaking out of the house. Sinead O'Connor famously spent some time in one for shoplifting as a teenager. Absolutely insane physical, mental, and sexual abuse happened, and mass graves with both women and infants have been uncovered. Being sent to one was a death sentence in many cases. The last laundry in Ireland closed in the 1990s, so it's much more recent than you might expect. If you're interested in learning more about this, The Magdalene Sisters is a great fictional movie based on testimony from four survivors, and there's a documentary called Sex in a Cold Climate with their interviews. Many survivors are still alive and young, so there's lots of interviews available with them. Reproductive history in Ireland is bleak in general. Abortion was illegal until 2018, and the only option for a safe abortion was to fly to England and have it done there, which was incredibly common. It's devastating to see America taking so many steps backwards, but I hope you girlies are staying safe out there. Love you, Megan. I'm really interested in this because I listened to a whole true crime episode. If you guys don't listen to Red Handed, I really like that podcast. Mm. I think it's really good. But they did an episode on, I don't remember, it was like, if it was like the Derry baby or something. It was like an Irish baby that like, that was murdered by like a new mom or whatever, basically like gave birth and then immediately like got rid of the baby, and it became like a whole thing about like abortion rights and like mothers, and they talked a lot about the Magdalene laundries in there, which is really interesting because it's just like basically if you got pregnant or did anything subversive, like your rights are over and you get sent to basically be like a indentured servant.
That is crazy that the last one closed in the 90s.
Yeah, and they do a really interesting like backdrop. One of the hosts is Irish, so she talks about it and it's really interesting.
Yeah,
I think it's the Carrie baby. The Carrie baby.
Interesting. And the podcast was called Red Handed.
Red Handed. They're really good. It's really interesting. It's like a true crime podcast that is just like really well researched, and I like them. But I thought that was so interesting, and that happened before all of this. But like the grave of the baby became like a site for like pro-life people to be like, wow, like the baby, like rest in peace to the baby. This is the example of, and then for like pro-choice people, it was like, this is an example of like what happens when you like force women to have children that they like can't take care of and like don't want to have.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting.
Yeah.
So
wow.
If you guys are interested in that, definitely listen to the pod. And I'm also totally interested in that doc, so I may see it. All right. I'm sending you this one.
Okay. This email is titled Naps Are Truly Evil. Hi, Benchies. I'm urgently typing this in my notes as it is time sensitive and I will forget. I fear that you've officially infiltrated my dreams. Not that this is a bad thing, but only speaks to the absolute chokehold you both queenstresses have on me. I was taking a nap as one does and dreamt that I was listening to you both as one does. Then I suddenly began to despise you too. Wait. Okay. I'm not sure what caused this sudden shift, but all of a sudden I just couldn't stand to hear your voices anymore. When I woke, I was absolutely shivering. What world was I living in? And to state this dream is absolutely false, Benchies, I could never... But then I remember this Archie comic I had read years ago. In it, Betty has a dream in which she finds Archie repulsive, as she should, and rejects him. She wakes up shocked by this and tells her mother, who thankfully reassures her, that dreams show you your fears, or something like that. That this dream only proves how much she loves Archie. I'm not sure about this logic, but I'll take it. Dreams are so weird. Please rest assured that my dream did not impact the hold you both have on me, sending love. You're so afraid of losing us.
She suddenly could not stand the sounds of our voices.
You and many men who tune in.
You and many men. I just think that's so funny that like the solace comes from an Archie comic.
Right.
Because the expert on dreams is Betty's mom from Archie.
Yeah. Right. Of course.
I think it does probably represent how you would be so scared that suddenly we would become unlikable and you would hate us.
Right.
I don't know, but I love when we show up in people's dreams and like that one email that we got that was like, I'm really mad at you guys because you were rude to me in my dream.
And they're like, I woke up and I know it's fake, but also I'm still a little angry at you.
But like, to be fair, sometimes you do have dreams that are like, I would absolutely never do that and I would never feel that way. And then it like is really scary. But
yeah.
Also, if you someday have a dream where you can't stand our voices anymore, that's okay. We'll it's forgive okay. you.
We will. And God will forgive you, or maybe he won't.
Or maybe he won't.
Speaking of God. Should we do cults?
Let's do cults. I'm going to fill my water bottle really quick.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about cults. Do you want to start with yours since you talked about yours on the podcast last week?
I would love to, Julia. This cult has truly taken over my mind and my life. I will say that it's not officially sanctioned as a cult.
Is anything?
I mean, no, but there's some discrepancy because, you know, it was mainly done online. Like, there wasn't a big, like, campus or anything. Like, not a lot of them lived together.
Cults famously have a campus.
Nobody died, etc. But, you know, the definition of a cult that I learned from the Way, Way Down, or the Way Down documentary, was some religious group, but instead of, like, the group serving the members serve, like, the heads of the group, right?
So I just took a social psychology class and we talked about cults in it, and we talked about, like, what makes a group, like, basically cult-like, like, mm-hmm. what creates hive mind. And we talked about this also in our MLM episode. Was it Mommy's Miserable Little Existence, or which was the one that we talked about? LuLaRoe.
I think it might have been that one.
In our episode on multi-level marketing schemes.
Oh, Girl Bossing Too Close to the Sun.
Girl Bossing Too Close to the Sun. We talked all about cults and, like, the signs of being in a cult, mm-hmm. and how cults, like, rope you in. But in my social psychology class, we talked about how, like, the things that make a cult are basically having, like, a homogenous group of people, not being able to seek outside sources or, like, ask any questions that pertain to things that aren't already in the books that you're given. Mm-hmm. So basically asking a question about, like, I heard from this, like, no, immediately shut down. Not having, like, basically being alienated from people if you, like, dare to, like, say something or ask a question. Mm-hmm. And then, like, obviously, like, a charismatic leader who, like, there's only one leader basically, and everybody just, like, defers to them.
Right.
But what I thought was, like, really, and then we did this whole thing on how to, like, minimize, like, groupthink, and it's, like, have homogenous groups, like, have smaller groups where people can, like, vote and, like, question about mm-hmm. things. Like, you basically have to split it up, because if it's, like, one big homogenous mind and you're not allowed to ask any questions and, like, anything you do is, like, considered as, like, a threat to the group, like, you're in a cult.
Right. You're in a cult vibes.
What did the Way Down say about what a cult is?
Well, I just remember it. The main thing that I remember is that, like, the end goal is for all of the members to serve the leader.
Right.
Versus the group being created so that all of the members are served by it. And that was definitely true in the Way Down. And it's true with a lot of, like, I feel that it's true for the Twin Flames cult because they made a lot of money off of it.
Right.
And they have a lot of financial incentive.
I think that if you're not, like, what good religious leaders are supposed to do is, like, be open to answering your questions. And if you say, like, why would God allow bad things to happen? Right. Like, they're supposed to have a conversation with you. They're not supposed to be like, shut it down. Like,
yeah, he wanted it to.
He wanted it to. But when I was watching Under the Banner of Heaven yesterday, there was this scene where Andrew Garfield asks, like, a bishop or something. And he's mm-hmm. like, you know, there are these, like, outward Mormon groups who have these beliefs about, like, Joseph Smith. And, like, can you tell me about that? And he was like, I think you should shelve that and not come back to it. Like, that's basically
you should
what
shelve
he says.
It forever. Yeah. And we'll get more into that when we talk about the Way Down, because there's a lot to talk about. But first, I would like to tell you about the Twin Flames cult. Before we get there, though, I just want to set a little background about Twin Flames generally, their cultural influence, etc. So I'm going to paint you a picture.
Okay.
In November of 2014, Ryan Gosling files a restraining order. The order was against 34-year-old Grace Marie Del Villar, who was a woman who had been stalking him and his family members for months. She believed Gosling was her twin flame.
I'm sure she did.
According to court documents, she said, Ryan has been looking for me. And believes she knows the Gosling family personally. So she goes to their house and shows up and is like, listen, I know he's looking for me. I've been hard to track down. Like, here I am, here I am, here I am. They're like, please no.
We don't want you here.
And after repeated attempts to contact Ryan Gosling and his family, she travels cross country from New York to LA and tracks down a house where some of his relatives lived. I wasn't able to find out who exactly, but just, like, could be his cousin, could be his grandmother. Right. Demanding access to Ryan, her twin flame.
That reminds me of, did you ever watch Orange is the New Black?
Yeah.
You know that one character who's like, I'm married and, like, I can't wait. And then it turns out that she was, like, stalking him and breaking into his house, and he filed a restraining order against her.
Oh, lots of many such characters in this story.
many such cases.
So then Ryan Gosling files the restraining order and she's like, I am so not worried about it.
So typical.
He's my twin flame. He's the other half of my soul and I will do anything to make sure that we are reunited. The conclusion of the story is that she went missing.
Oh,
and the case was dropped. So Ryan Gosling mafia.
Wait, what did Ryan Gosling do?
I don't know. I don't know.
She went missing to go find Ryan again.
Yeah.
She knows there's another version of him existing somewhere that knows he is her twin flame.
So true. She just timeline hopped.
It's so interesting. Simple. When your twin flame happens to be one of the most popular actors in the world.
I know, like the heartthrob of the 2000s. Heartthrob. Crazy.
You know what? I also saw The Notebook and I thought he might be my twin flame too. I'm not going to lie to you, queen.
For sure. We've all been there. We have all been at Ryan Gosling's second cousin's house banging down the door demanding access to him. But the idea of human beings having like soul counterparts is very old, you know, like Adam and Eve, like, you know, they're two sides of the same. We did an episode
on twin flames. Which one was that?
Yeah, we did.
So we need like somebody.
Astral projecting in Whole Foods.
Right. That was us talking about the twin flames.
Yeah. So I'm not going to go super deep into it, but just a recap for those who haven't done the back catalog, which it's time. But yeah, the first historical mention of the phrase twin flame comes to us in 1886 in a best-selling romance novel by Marie Corelli.
A woman who had never had sex before, probably.
Literally. She's like, this will complete me. It's like, girl, you're just horny.
You're literally just horny.
And then in the 30s, this couple named Guy and Edna Ballard founded the I Am movement. Have you heard about this?
No.
So they basically like traveled around as messengers of God. And they were just kind of like doing their little tour, but they called themselves Twin Rays. And then decades later, one of their followers, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, wrote a series of books that explored the nature of twin flames and like cited them as two people who were twin flames. But it's worth mentioning that a lot, like what this woman is mainly known for, this follower, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, she's mainly known for writing a bunch about how we should be hoarding weapons for the Armageddon.
Okay.
So that's just a bit of background on her. But anyway, like the Ballard's whole thing was that you can create a more positive reality by focusing within, which is like the same logic as, you know, law of attraction, manifestation,
right.
All the things that have also, you know, been on the backs of other cults like Nixium and et cetera. But, you know, today the concept of twin flames is kind of everywhere. Like spiritual leaders or just like people on Instagram with crystals to like Goop articles to TikTok. Like, oh my God, the amount of like when I was on their TikToks, I would see that's like, stop, your twin flame is looking for you.
Why would crazy. They say twin? It's giving incest.
It's giving incest. But the commonly accepted idea is that like the twin flame relationships, they aren't easy.
Right. Because, they're always abusive.
Because yeah, this person is the other half of your soul. The highs are very high and the lows are very low. They're your shadow self. You're seeing everything within
them. That is
them.
Literally the definition of an abusive relationship.
Additionally, they're not always reciprocal.
Oh.
When someone, quote, can't handle a twin flame connection, they run.
Like Ryan Gosling
and
did.
These runners are usually men. According to like the whole twin flame philosophy.
Right.
And to many, a core goal of their lives is to locate and be in a relationship with their twin flame. Like if you hear this concept and you sign on and you're like, there is one person for me who literally completes me and I have to do everything I can to get to them. That's a very powerful will and desire to have as a human being.
I mean, look, if that was true, who wouldn't love to have that?
Sure. Introducing Jeff and Shalia. So this is a couple that met through a mutual friend on Facebook in 2012. Love, millennial vibes. And at the time, Jeff was running, quote, a vegetarian Airbnb in Hawaii. And Shalia was working in a hair salon and studying with a spiritual teacher in Sedona, Arizona.
Dude, have you been to Sedona?
No.
Sedona is the woo-woo capital of the world. Like, I went there. They believe that there are vortexes in the caves.
Love.
That take you to other dimensions. And I went to a crystal shop. People were speaking to the crystals.
That Shalia speaks to the crystals as well. There was like a moment where the Vanity Fair, a lot of this information is from a Vanity Fair article. And Shalia was like looking at the crystals and she was like, just yesterday, I found out that this one is a man and this one is a woman. And that's how I knew. But when I first moved to LA, I went to an estate sale and the woman was like selling a bunch of shit for cheap. She was like very woo woo, very spiritual. She like read my tarot while I was there. And I was like, oh, where are you moving? She's like, oh, I'm moving to Sedona. And I was like, why? And she goes, because of the 5G.
Because of the vortexes.
And she's like, here, I'm going to give you this piece of copper that you need to keep with you at all times to keep the 5G off of you.
That's literally everybody. It's all white people who believe in vortexes.
No, exactly. Exactly. But anyway, they meet on Facebook. And then Shalia introduces Jeff to the concept of twin flames. And they, at some point, agreed that they were each other's twin flame.
How do you know when you've met your twin flame?
Oh, Julia. Good. That's a question many people have. And you know what? Shalia and Jeff fill the need there.
They answer it for us?
They answer it for us. Okay, we'll get
thank
there.
God.
So Shalia is like the more spiritual twin of the flame.
Of the flames. They're not twins exactly.
No, but she's, you know, into numerology and divination and crystals. And then Jeff takes on the more business side of the operation. He describes himself as a lifestyle design entrepreneur.
Classic.
Which are indeed three words. So over the last 5 years, the couple have released hundreds of online videos discussing spiritual wellness, self-love, and of course, the importance of finding your twin flame. So in the videos, they talk about things like the harmonious union and how twin flames have been designed for you by God, and they encourage relentless commitment to your twin. And they do call it a twin.
You know who is actually a twin flame?
Who?
Newt Gingrich and his wife.
So
like
true.
They actually are twin flames.
Newt and Callista are together in every dimension.
Like, I truly believe that about them.
That's the only stable thing about our multiverse is Newt and Callista's union. And then, you know, it's like, what if your twin flame is with somebody else?
What if they're ugly or not alive anymore?
Well,
or live in another country?
Well, you have to relentlessly pursue them. If that means killing yourself to meet them in the afterlife,
right,
that's what it means. But they, like, in the case where they, like, describe this one case where it's like, oh, if your twin flame is with another person, it means that it's a sham three-dimensional marriage. And then they say, your twin flame is actually already yours, so claim them. Free videos, but in order to, like, really ascend to the highest level of, like, their favor and to get the most of their counsel, you have to obviously pay. So followers of Jeff and Shalia can pay for exclusive content, such as their Dreams Coming True e-course, $699, their Life Purpose class, $2,699.
Interesting that Dreams Coming True is less expensive than Life Purpose.
Right.
I feel like I would, the Dreams Coming True is more of a,
I want the dreams to come
right.
true. And also the Twin Flame Ascension School, which is,
we're both graduates of that.
Oh yeah. We've ascended. And that is $3,333. It's all angel numbers, babe. It's all angel
imagine
numbers.
Imagine putting that on your resume. They're like, what college did you go to? I actually graduated from the Twin Flame Ascension School.
And it's great, like the brand and like all their subsequent businesses become known as the Twin Flames Universe.
Okay.
So the idea is that Jeff and Shalia will help you not only find your twin flame, but teach you how to structure your life so that it's possible for you to be together. Over 80% of the people who watch their videos and take their courses are women, many of whom are not in contact with or have restraining orders from ex-partners or, quote, twin flames.
Wait, they actually, like, a lot of them have restraining orders against them?
Yes, an overwhelming amount.
Oh.
So they have this entire community of, like, Facebook groups and group chats made up of people who pay for their coaching services. And one of the core tenets of the group's philosophy is the mirror exercise, which is apparently a tool to help you create whatever it is you desire in your reality. That sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
And the idea is that whenever you're seeking to blame others, blame yourself instead.
It sounds like Godly Wives.
Yes, very, very, very much.
Look in the mirror.
Godly Wives.
Whose fault is it? Who's sitting across from you?
So true. So fucking true. And so then we kind of get into this other aspect of it, which I touched on in, like, when I slowly, like, soft launched it last week. But basically, the Twin Flames universe teaches that love is between masculine and feminine counterparts. But it also positions itself as, like, a champion of LGBTQ acceptance. And that's because they say that it claims to define masculine and feminine by energy rather than bodies. We're all created 100% masculine energy or 100% feminine energy, says Shalia.
Wait, everybody is either 100%
yes.
one or the other?
100% one or the other. And sometimes people are confused and they don't know when you have to tell them which they are.
Interesting. Everybody is 100% one or the other.
That is their stance.
Okay.
That is their stance. And yet they apparently have a great understanding of what it means to be trans right. and what the specter of gender is.
Well, their twin flame is clearly 100% feminine, 100% masculine.
Well, of course. But they say it's based off of energies, not bodies, and that they can sometimes know if you really have a masculine energy inside of you where previously you thought
right.
you were feminine. And so when you get really, like, when you get closer into, like, the communities and stuff, and they have classes that, like, you pay enough money to get high up, like, they will tell you who your twin flame is. Or
is
sometimes
it somebody in the cult?
A lot of times it is. Or sometimes, you know, women with restraining orders will come in and be like, this is my twin flame. And they'll be like, yes, it is.
Right. And they're never going to, like, deny who your twin flame
is. Well, they could if they have an interest in controlling you. And
okay.
we'll get into that. So the gurus insist that the members who discover a new divine gender are, like, never pressured to change their outward appearance, but many of them do. Like, many of them have become transgender since joining,
I want to make a distinction. This does not mean that they are not actually transgender, because I think the people, like, there are people who have legitimate, you know, experiences of having this realization within the cult, but there are at least 5 members who have left because
they were forced to switch genders.
Yeah, because the leaders told them that they were transgender and they're like, this doesn't feel right to me.
I mean, it should be something that is up to you, not you would think. Somebody telling you.
Yeah, so in 2017, Katrina and Anne Irwin are a lesbian couple, and they joined the Twin Flames universe. They liked it because it seemed to align with their spiritual views and be, like, very inclusive of their sexuality. Like, that's the whole thing.
But if they already have each other, why do they need to be there?
Because it strengthens their connection. Like, there's always something you can gain and always something you can pay money to learn. So eventually they became coaches and were named VPs of sales, which is really funny because what I ended up finding out is that they didn't make any money from that position. They were just, like, asked to take on responsibility.
Interesting. Well, and that's typical of a cult.
Well, that is typical of a cult. And also later, like, the Vanity Fair reporter went to their house and was, like, talking to them and noticed that they had, like, 4 people, like, staying in their extra bedrooms. And they ended up being Twin Flame Universe cult members who traded, like, housework and laundry and cleaning, et cetera, in exchange for, like, classes. In exchange for spiritual classes, which...
Ooh.
But anyway, so they became VPs of sales. More work, no pay. And then one day in class, Jeff told Anne he wanted her to explore taking a male name and pronoun. Anne was open to the discussion. You know,
Jeff is the male leader of the cult?
Jeff is the male leader, and Anne is one of the members of the lesbian couple who joins. And they later say, she was like, yeah, I mean, we're very, like, fluid with ideas of, like, gender and sexuality. Like, at first I was kind of open to it. Like, I don't think that, like, we're one defined gender, whatever. And she admitted that she felt a masculine energy inside, but this quote is so funny. For example, and the quote from her is, "There's been contexts where I've been wanting to bro out with dudes playing basketball," she said. Jeff asked Anne intimate questions about her sex life and her kids. Weren't they lying if they didn't call her dad? And her pronouns. Jeff stressed to Anne the importance of picking a more male-sounding name. He suggests Dan. From Anne to Dan. So then she tries it, but she's, like, kind of resistant. She keeps telling him, like, I don't think this is working, like, I don't feel comfortable, whatever. And he sends her this text, which has been leaked later. He texts her wife, actually. "You guys look dumb as fuck hiding behind the lie still. Take a guy's name and a guy's pronoun, or I will need to put someone else in charge of sales who does respect my work."
Jesus.
Yeah, so eventually Anne gets fed up and she announces to the whole group, which includes Jeff, that, like, she didn't feel comfortable about what he had told her about her gender and that she didn't identify as being a man. And then in response, Jeff said, "Well, your anger is just more proof that you are a man and that I'm right about your masculinity."
They just need more men in the cult. It's like only women with restraining orders against them.
Right. And then he manipulates her essentially. So at the end of the meeting, she, like, acquiesces and she's like, "Wow, I think you're right." And then he, like, very dramatically applauds. And what's interesting is that you can buy, like, you can actually see all of these sessions with him and Anne for, I mean, for the measly price of $2,222. But the Vanity Fair reporter, like, bought it so that she could see it all.
Wow.
And that's part of it, too, is, like, you see other people's healing. Like, you can buy just access to seeing other people's healing. Quote unquote healing.
Right.
So then the next day, Anne and her wife, Katrina, were blocked on all social media platforms. And Jeff and Shania posted a 46-minute video explaining why they had, quote, released the couple, saying that Anne and Katrina were, quote, a leech on the system.
After she finally decided that she agreed with him?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think because he already sensed that she wasn't, like, there, you know, she was simply not trans and was not going to accept that. And so years after leaving, Anne and Katrina do feel as though they were in a cult.
And oh, really?
And they were talking about how, like, the acceptance that the Twin Flame universe pretends to have for its community and its, like, fluid ideas of gender ultimately are just another way that they could control people and, like, make them doubt their authority over their identity. Right. Like, if they felt they were, like, that people were getting too big for their britches, they could be like, "Well, I know better than you, so much so that I can tell you who you are."
Right.
Like, if I can't, you know, if you already have a partner, you already feel secure about that, you feel safe in your body, like, let me make you not feel that.
You have to
way.
Make people vulnerable so that you can control them.
Right, exactly. And once again, like, this is Republicans' worst, like, concocted fear about people. And again, it's like, conversion therapy for LGBT people is incredibly real and is an actual threat, and, like, that is where the concern should be. Nobody is being fucking converted into being trans. Like, even in this cult, it seems like some people actually genuinely found out that they were trans, and the people who didn't left the cult. And it's just, I want to stress that this is not just like a thing that's happening all the time. It's yeah. absolutely not. It's just kind of bizarre because it's such bizarre. Like a weird fantasy world. But kind of going back to our ladies with restraining orders.
Right.
They regularly encourage people to stalk and pursue people who are not interested or had restraining orders. One woman heard that her supposed twin flame was planning on going to the police about her behavior. So then she posts in the Facebook group, in the Twin Flame Facebook group, she's like, listen, my twin flame said that he's planning on going to the police, so I am on a bus to another country to relocate him. And in response, Shalia comments, sounds like you're being guided to be closer and connected to your twin flame, and God supports you on your next big step.
Wait, she's relocating to a different country so that she can't get arrested?
No, she is trying to, like, find him. She is on a bus to another country to go find him.
Oh, okay.
And then Shalia comments, you're being guided closer and connected to your twin flame. God right. supports you.
Right.
So people set out on these huge journeys, like being delusional, like getting cut off from their family, spending more and more money on the courses because they're like, you know, I need to learn all that I need to learn so that I can find my twin flame. Like, they just prey on delusional, like, stalking people.
I still don't understand how you technically know who your true twin flame is.
They tell you is the thing. It's
but they'll just
be someone,
tell you whoever you're currently stalking is your twin flame.
It's advantageous for them to tell you is okay. your twin flame, in my opinion. But I think it's like there's that whole idea in twin flames of like somebody like thinks that the connection is too much, so they run from it, and that's only natural, and that's a part of it.
Right.
So like if you feel really strongly towards someone and they're running away from you, that's for sure your twin flame.
Yeah.
So yeah, people set out on these huge journeys to like find their twin flame, whatever. And if they're like, if they tried to give up or change their mind, they were highly discouraged because the cult's like, no, this is what you need to do. You need to keep buying the courses, keep learning, keep traveling, keep, you know, searching after them.
So your twin flame actually should be very inaccessible to you.
Right, right. By design. Either by like distance or restraining order or by the fact that one of you has to change your gender in order right, to be right. the other person. So there's this one woman who was charged with stalking and violating a restraining order. So she doesn't have any bail money. She spends 18 days in jail. And after her family bails her out, which, you know, they paid $25,000 out of their retirement savings.
Jesus.
She says someone at Twin Flame suggested that she'd been sent out on a mission from God. And in class, 2 months later, Jeff congratulates her for having faith in the process, God and herself. And he says, it gives me enormous trust in you when before I had none.
Because she went to jail?
Yeah. Because she was so committed.
Wow.
That she went to jail. And then, you know, in June of 2020, Jeff and Shalia filed two lawsuits that named 7 former Twin Flames Universe members and one family member as defendants, variously accusing them of defamation, false promotion, unfair competition, and additional charges.
Okay.
So there are still people in the cult today, but they're trying to fight back against it. I think the charges were dismissed.
So they're still in the cult?
There are people still in the
join?
Cult. Yeah.
What's the website? You can like go look it up.
I think so. Let me see. Yeah, twinflamesuniverse.com.
Wow, what does the website look like?
Illuminating the path home to eternal love. It's just like a bunch of it's their story. Yeah. I used to suffer from separation, but now all my pain has been resolved.
Wow.
I perfectly attracted the love of my life and now I have my perfect and right person.
Wow. That's
and like
incredible.
They make people like go off their meds and stuff. Like they're like people claim to be so healed from like finding their connection that they like go off their meds. She says something of she was like, all you have is within yourself and you don't need like any psychiatric or medical care.
Jesus Christ. I love this first sentence. I remember what it was like feeling incomplete without my man.
Communion with your twin is sacred, beautiful, and divine. What I really want to say is that it's the utter opposite of what others on the internet say about twin flames. They say that it's toxic and unhealthy, but that's not my experience, and I'm not alone. It's because of the secrets that I know my relationship with my twin and myself is not toxic. It's actually quite healthy.
I love that at the end they also say, let me show you that you can trust in the repeatable science of harmonious twin flame union. What I offer works every single time for every single person. That's a really bold claim to
make.
That's
a super bold claim, especially because like a lot of people have left your cult unsatisfied.
A lot of people have left your cult. Yeah, what qualifies the ascension coaches? Let me see. They're certified ascension coaches or master certified ascension coach.
Great.
So how do you get that? you attend their academy.
You attend their academy and they coach you and you pay for their training.
Oh yeah, you have to complete the entirety of Jeff and Shalia's teachings, which is 750 hours of work and study.
Yeah. That's the end of the twin flame. So if you're interested in joining, don't.
If you're interested in joining, don't. You might just have to find a real relationship like everybody else.
So true.
Okay, should I tell you about my cult?
Please do.
You want to hear about Heaven's Gate?
Tell me about Heaven's Gate.
First of all, speaking of websites that are still up, Heaven's Gate website is still up. I need you to visit...
Didn't like hella people die?
Yeah, I need you to visit heavensgate.com. Okay. And you need to see the web... It's like, hasn't been changed since 1997, which is when like a bunch of people died. But their logo, first of all, is like beyond insane.
Yeah, this also... Like, I can't understand half the words. Whether Hail Bop has a companion or not is irrelevant from our perspective. I don't understand any of that, and I would like to. Please,
okay,
please enlighten
okay.
me.
Let me set a scene for you. Okay, so in March 1997, less than 1 month before I was born, personally, the police in Rancho Santa Fe, which is a San Diego suburb, receive an anonymous tip. In this otherwise calm and pretty fancy town, I think it's like a pretty calm and suburban town, the police enter a mansion and find 39 victims of mass suicide. There were 21 women and 18 men of different ages all lying on the ground in matching dark clothes and Nike sneakers.
Whoa.
Specifically Nike sneakers. None of them had any noticeable blood or trauma to their bodies. The 39 victims... members of Heaven's Gate, a religious cult that believed mass suicide was necessary for the members' liberation.
Wow.
So that's Heaven's Gate. Heaven's Gate was founded in 1974 by Bonnie Nettles and Marshall Applewhite. Applewhite was the son of a Presbyterian minister. He got super interested in the idea of biblical prophecy. He was a music teacher who, I believe, got kicked out of a university he was teaching at for having a relationship with a male student.
Love.
And then he met Nettles because she was a nurse when he was at a psychiatric institution.
Oh.
So that's how they met. He was in a psychiatric institute and she was his nurse.
How all great romances start, but they were twin flames.
Right. And so she was similarly interested in biblical prophecy. And she told him that their meeting was actually prophesied by aliens who had a divine assignment for him.
Love.
And so it seems like she might have introduced him to the cult, but they like built it together. It's kind of unclear, mm-hmm. but they both definitely believed in like biblical prophecy and aliens. So first they like went on a tour together and they went by Bo and Peep. And then Applewhite went by Doe and Nettles went by T, like Dora, Nifa.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if that's what it's from, but that's the only thing I can think of. But like
Bo Peep and Doe and T.
Bo Peep and Doe and T. Yeah. But then I think later on they went by Doe and T. So that's how all the like cult members responded to them.
Interesting.
So in 1975, Nettles and Applewhite convinced 20 people from Oregon to leave all their families and belongings and move to eastern Colorado, where an alien spacecraft was supposed to arrive and take them to heaven.
Where did they get any of this information? Is it just literally from their deluded heads?
Well, then an alien was supposed to arrive and take them to heaven. I think it's pretty clear. There was something in like some biblical prophecy that talked about the end times and like... That's where they got it from. I'm really not clear. I mean, obviously, right. There's no like scientific fact or biblical prophecy that has aliens in it.
Right.
But for them, it was.
Sure.
And they actually explained that human bodies are actually just containers that can be abandoned at any time to attain a higher physical existence.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so according to them, when the UFO arrived on Earth, there would be a rapture. So that's like pretty classically biblical.
Right.
There would be a rapture where only the true believers would be saved. So that's why you have to believe.
So classic.
So classic. However, the spacecraft never arrived. And the
She's
members,
late.
She wasn't there. And so the members of Heaven's Gate like kind of were leaving. The membership was dwindling. Eventually, Bonnie Nettles, Applewhite's, quote, sexless partner, they did not have sex.
And where are they now? They're on some, like, farm in
Colorado. I'm not sure at this point, but she, in 1985, died of liver cancer, which was a really major problem for the cult because after her death, her body did not immediately ascend to heaven, which... into a UFO, which is what they said was going to happen. So Applewhite had to like change his whole strategy and be like, actually, like your body doesn't ascend directly to heaven. Like it's just like more of like
your soul,
like your soul ascends to heaven. But he had to like change it around because when she died, like she really fucked him over by not ascending directly to heaven. Okay, so, but in the 1990s, Heaven's Gate resurfaced again after its membership had dwindled, and Applewhite began to recruit new members via the internet.
Whoa, crazy.
So Heaven's Gate was one of the first well-known cults of the internet era, and a lot of their income came from designing websites for people.
Their website design is absolutely heinous.
Yeah, their website design is heinous. That. I clicked on it. I showed it to you. It's insane. Like, apparently some members that somehow must still be around are still maintaining the website and, like, paying for it to exist. But I was shocked that it was still up.
It still has members?
I mean, I don't... Maybe, like, former members that are keeping... Right. Who's keeping the website around?
Right. Who's paying for the domain? Right.
So, at this point, Applewhite told his followers that he personally was the second coming of Jesus Christ, that God was an alien, and that they were living in the end times. So, I'm going to show you this video of him. I mean, I've never seen a more insane-looking man, to be honest. I'm going to play this for you, because this man is crazy.
If I ever get canceled, that's my plan. I'm the second coming of Christ, and God is an alien.
And we're living in the end times. Okay, here you go. First of all, look at this man's face. He's like a bald man with like the scariest eyes you've ever seen.
Love him.
Okay.
We're going to talk to you about the most urgent thing that is on our mind and what we suspect is the most urgent thing on the minds of those who will connect with us. We'll title this tape Planet Earth About to Be Recycled. Your only chance to evacuate is to leave with us.
Okay, so that's him. He's talking about recycling the earth.
So the lights are on and absolutely no one is in the home.
I mean, you can it's giving psychiatric patients. It's really giving.
He blinked maybe like once.
No, he doesn't blink in the entire video.
And his cadence is so strange. He speaks so slowly.
And I love how he's clearly like, you might say, I can't believe that. But if you don't, you're not going to survive. I mean, it's just insane fear mongering. It's like, I mean, you don't have to believe me that my father is an alien who like put me on this earth. But like,
and that everyone's going to die and be recycled and you'll miss it immediately.
But like, if you want to come to heaven while everyone else is getting damned to eternity, you better get on the UFO with us.
Right.
So that's his whole thing. So the whole thing about the Hale Bopp comment. comment. I don't know. Okay, so their whole idea, so this was in 1995, they've like evolved. At first, like, they didn't believe that like dying or anything was necessary to like get to Heaven's Gate, but then like they changed their views. It like became more extreme over time, right. Obviously. So in 1995, the Hale Bopp comment was discovered, and members of the cult,
I think it's Hallie.
It's not Hallie's comment though.
Huh.
So I don't know. Because
Hale Bopp, what a terrible name.
Because Hallie's comment is like a different comment.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. If I'm just going to call it Hale Bopp, but like it might be different.
Okay.
So this comment was discovered and members of the cult became convinced that an alien spacecraft was coming to Earth, but it was hiding behind the comet. So like it was invisible to the human eyes because it was hiding behind the comet. And when the comet came to Earth, they had to like get onto the UFO,
right.
Basically, or they were going to miss it. So in October 1996, Applewhite rented the mansion in Rancho Santa Fe, and he told the house's owner that he and his group were Christian-based angels. And the guy was like, okay. In the same month, the group purchased alien abduction insurance that would cover up to 15 members and would pay out $1 million per person. So this policy covered abduction, impregnation, or death by aliens.
That's a real thing you can purchase?
I have no idea who sold that to them. But they were like, we gotta buy...
For $15 million?
They bought the insurance that would cover up to 50 members and it would pay. It's like a life insurance policy.
Where do they get the money? Like, who's working?
They're designing websites.
All of this money is from designing websites?
I don't know. Apparently, a lot of the money they made was from designing websites.
That's insane.
So it gets even crazier. Applewhite also told his members that they must be sexually abstinent, and some men even got castrated to prove their devotion to the cause.
Love.
At first, they were doing it at the mansion, and then someone almost died, and then they were like, okay, we're going to go to the hospital now. Which, like, which hospital is, like, castrating people for a cult? But so, as I said, he was fired as a music professor at the University of St. Thomas in 1970 because administrators learned that he had sex with a male student, and he was like, I need to seek a cure for my homosexual urges. So like that's kind of where the castration is coming from.
Oh, interesting.
And so ultimately the group instituted a strict no sex, no human level relationships, no socializing rule.
Wait, how are they supposed to speak to each other?
I don't, well, I guess they're not humans maybe.
Oh, okay.
But you're not supposed to have sex at all. In fact, if you get castrated, that's better. And that really, and apparently people were like, like former cult members were like, people were like joyous about getting castrated. Like I've never seen them happier than when they were like about to, like they were just so happy to be castrated.
Wow, that's the world we should all be living in.
Also, apparently, they participated in cleanses where they would drink nothing but lemonade, cayenne pepper, and maple syrup for 3 months.
That's literally the diet that Beyonce went on to lose 15 pounds for Dreamgirls. Is it? It's literally called the Master Cleanse.
Well, that's what they did. They did the Master Cleanse. Okay, so then in 1997, the Hale-Bopp comet passed Earth. And in March, the comet reached its closest distance to our planet.
But it didn't. It was supposed to land, or the spaceship was supposed to land from the comet.
It's just passing the Earth, right? And I don't know where the spaceship's supposed to come from, but like when it's at the closest distance to our planet, like that's probably when the UFO is going to come down,
right?
So the cult went out for a last supper together at the Marie Callender's restaurant in Carlsbad, which if you guys have ever seen like the frozen food aisle, it's like those frozen like chicken pot pies. And apparently they were all like so happy. They all ordered the same meal. They all have to like wear the same clothes, order the same meals like all the time. And they were just having like a great evening before their last evening.
So wait, they were going to go like physically board the spaceship, or they were going to kill themselves?
No, they were going to ascend. Well, I'll tell you what they were going to do. But they basically the idea was that their souls were going to ascend to the UFO.
Okay.
I don't really know. I mean, they purchased alien abduction insurance. So like... maybe that, I don't know what that was for, but like, right. Clearly they thought they were going to have physical contact with the aliens.
Of course.
So then Applewhite and 38 of his followers took phenobarbital, which is a lethal drug, with applesauce, washed it down with vodka, and laid down to die and be taken to Heaven's Gate.
Wow.
And so apparently they did it like eight people at a time or something, like eight, like over a course of days. So
that's
like eight
crazy.
People would kill themselves. And then like the people who were left would like clean up and like take care of it and like cover their faces in a blanket and like set them up. And then like the next group of people would kill themselves. Applewhite obviously went almost last as cult members
did
do.
Did anybody like dip out of it once they saw the reality of people like dying?
No, because they didn't see it as committing suicide, right. They saw it as freeing their
but
souls
still,
to ascend.
I feel like having to see people like kill themselves right in front of you would like
they were
maybe I mean that really is a testament to how fucking brainwashed they were.
They wanted to free their souls to ascend, and they were convinced that like the Hale-Bopp comet was like creating the end of the Earth, so like
right.
They were going to be like sentenced to die in like Armageddon anyway,
yeah,
if they didn't ascend. So as mentioned previously, so somebody like gave an anonymous tip to the police, and like that's how the police found out. They were like, I think a ritual suicide has happened, and they went and they found all the people like laid out. And as mentioned previously, everyone was found in sweatsuits and Nike shoes. And so in an interview afterwards, like two surviving members said that the identical clothing was a uniform for them and it was supposed to represent unity, while the Nikes were chosen because the group, quote, got a good deal on the shoes.
I mean, if they're building websites, they can't be millionaires.
So Applewhite was also a fan of Nikes, and therefore everybody was expected to wear Nikes.
How did Nike respond to this?
Nike was like, we are not associated with this stuff.
Yeah.
And within the group, Heaven's Gate also had a saying, just do it. Oh. Using Nike's slogan. They literally
just kill yourself. Just do it.
That was their slogan. Just do it.
Oh, my God.
They also pronounced dough. Like Do Re Mi,
right.
Like that was his name, as Do to reflect Applewhite's nickname, like do it. Do as Do. Like,
oh, they pronounce Do as Do.
Just do it. Just Do it. Like that's what they said. Just Do it, because like Do was their leader.
Oh my God.
So they were like really into like the Nike fandom.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically the website is still up. 39 people died of ritual suicide. People talk about it and they're like, obviously, and so there's all these videos of like Heaven Gates cult members that are like, we're so like, join us, like this is our own free will, like we want to be here, like this is our free will. And they have cult experts obviously talking about like nothing is of your free
right.
will in a cult. Like all these people were convinced, and like we actually talked about Heaven's Gate specifically in my social psychology class, because it was like everybody looks at shit like this and they're like, how could those fucking dumbass idiots
right.
think that aliens were coming to Earth and that they were going to save them? And it's like, everybody thinks that they're too smart to be in a cult until
yeah.
they like end up in a cult.
Right.
Like everybody thinks that it's a social psychology phenomenon, that everybody thinks they're more impervious to like influence and like advertising even.
Yeah.
Like everybody thinks that advertising doesn't affect them, but it affects everybody
else. No, if you ever, my favorite thing to do is ask a man, like, do you think you could ever like be in a cult? Or like, do you think you would ever fall victim to that?
Right.
And every single man says no.
I mean, like basketball's a fucking cult. I mean, you can right. talk about all sorts of things. Like men's exercising is yeah. like a cult. But the whole thing is like, if you get people vulnerable enough, and like a lot of this stuff, like it started out as a new age movement, which we've talked about before, like with our astrology stuff, like a lot of the new age movement was like very positive and about like finding a better world and like joining together and like having peace and stuff like that. But then people go too far.
Now it's about killing yourself for the aliens and stalking your exes.
Well, you also see it like ramp up, like people right. start to leave. So now it's like, fuck, we got to make sure everybody kills themselves.
Yeah.
Like, when people are leaving the cult, you have to really ramp up on like the intensity of the call.
Yeah.
So that was Heaven's Gate.
Wow. I would say love, but I don't love.
I don't love. And like, obviously we're laughing about it, which it like is just like absurd, but like, watch out you guys, because everybody thinks they would never be in a cult, but you can never really be sure.
Until you are in one. And we'll talk about this in the bonus episode, but it was like so sad seeing like the family members of people who got dragged into it not being able yeah. to get them out. Like deprogramming is like a really huge thing that's so hard to do.
It's really hard to do, and there's whole experts that are just like experts on deprogramming people from cults, because like if you are only, that's the whole thing about the like only being surrounded by people who agree with you and having no dissenting opinions. Like if everybody around you agrees with you, like the natural evolutionary mechanisms of like group dynamics and yeah. like social psychology will like take over, and mm-hmm. you will be like, well, everyone says this, and like these, I've already alienated all my friends and family. These are the only people who love me. They've told me they're the only people who love me, and if I don't obey what they say, then I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's like a similar thing to like Jonestown, although it almost seems like the Heaven's Gate people like believed it more, because with Jonestown, like they injected the babies first.
Yeah, that's
so like
so
then parents
up.
Started killing themselves, because first of all, they were like caught on a deserted island, and like the babies like were gone first, and then it's like if you just kill your child, obviously right. like you're gonna, and Jim Jones was like the last person to kill himself. But like it almost seems like from what people are saying that like these people were like very enthusiastic about it.
Yeah.
And like as you
can
said,
I
like
see a video of them.
Yeah,
like,
I mean
speaking?
they all look like him. They all have like
that's
bald
head.
They look like monks. But like, you know, people will talk about it, and they'll say that, like, I mean, you were just saying, like, why would you watch people die and then kill yourself afterwards? But it was like all the people who were in the house watched the people die and then killed themselves. Like,
right.
they kept following up on it. They all have like really short cropped hair, like they almost look like monks kind of.
Yeah.
And like they're all saying like this is he made them film a video. Basically, the thing that they're saying is you see these videos of people being like, this is the happiest day of my life. Like mm-hmm. we're ascending to heaven, like the Hail Bop comet is coming through and like we're going to be riding along on it or whatever. And the whole thing is he is behind the camera the whole time
right.
telling them what to say. And like with those insane eyes, basically just it is so
haunting.
Crazy. Rest in peace to the people of Heaven's Gate.
Rest in peace to them.
But isn't that so insane that was in 1997?
Yeah, that's so.
I was literally like 1 month before I was born.
That is insane. I want to talk more about it, but I do want to save it for the bonus episode.
We're going to save it for the bonus episode.
So if you want to hear more on the conversation, head over to patreon.com/bingetopia.
We hope you guys like this episode. Let us know if you want us to do more true crime-esque stuff. We're not
yeah.
true crime-stress girls.
Right.
But like, there's a reason why true crime podcasts are so successful.
Yeah,
it's
interesting
to talk about.
Yeah.
And I think that it's just like we have to have like empathy for people who we think are like insane, and we think that we would never end up in that situation. And
right.
like, you know, even with like the LuLaRoe stuff, and people are like, how could you be such an idiot? Like, why
it's
would
like
you
everyone
be that
is susceptible
stupid?
To things. Like there is something that somebody could come to you and offer that you it would make you more susceptible to that kind of manipulation.
And as we've also talked about, like in an increasingly isolated society where, especially when people don't have like religion or community
mm-hmm.
or things that bring them together, like what people want is a community, and
yeah.
cults are communities. Like everybody, like there is a sense of unity. There is a sense of like not having to think about yourself anymore, which like they've shown in scientific studies that like the more you think about yourself every day, like the more depressed you're likely to be.
Yeah.
Like collectivist societies are just like less likely to like focus on the individual and the individual problems. But then the problem is if you lose the individual completely, then you're just at the whim of like somebody who may or may not actually be telling you what's right. And so it's important to have empathy for people in these situations, but it's also important to like question the things you hear. If you're not allowed to ask questions, then that's something very suspicious.
Right.
And like there have to be differing opinions like within a group for it to mm-hmm. actually be like a group that has like I don't know, validity in it. Because if everybody agrees with each other and people are encouraged to agree with each other and nobody's allowed to disagree, like...
Right. This is why we encourage you to disagree with us and to disagree with each other. We're not out to build a hive mind or to build a cult.
We are actually building a Bingetopia cult, and all of you have just been caught.
On the low, don't tell
anybody. We will be flying out on the latest comet next week.
We'll be flued out, all expenses paid.
On the Hale Bopp comet. No, but then, so apparently then, like, there were copycat suicides afterwards, and this other dude who wasn't associated just killed himself because he was like, I want to go too. And like, I guess, like, astronomers have said that, like, every time a comet comes to Earth, like, people do shit like this because they think it's like the end of the world or whatever, even though the comet was only passing Earth and it wasn't hitting Earth. But like, every time some, like, a comet comes to Earth, people are like, it's Armageddon. It's like, you guys could just enjoy the beautiful comet,
right?
Mayhaps
mayhaps get a telescope,
enjoy the beautiful comet with your friends, family, and cult members,
and you can all stay alive.
Great. We love you guys very much.
Love you.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
We hope you enjoy.